We don't often hear readings from the book of Proverbs in our Sunday morning lectionary cycle. Because of that slight, there are probably some of us who aren't terribly familiar with the contents of this example of wisdom literature found in our holy texts. As our presiding bishop-elect Michael Curry quipped in his fiery sermon yesterday at the Jonathan Daniels pilgrimage in Hainville when referring to the book of Hebrews, "Hey, Episcopalians, it's in this book known as the Bible." He actually got a big laugh out of that one, y'all. And like the book of Hebrews, the book of Proverbs is there as well, wedged right between the book of Psalms and a book known as Song of Solomon, all attributed to the king. That's an interesting, but not terribly surprising, place to find the book of how-tos or how-not-tos. Proverbs is nestled right behind Psalms, which is a book of poems and songs often used in the earliest forms of worship, which often decry the trials of human existence in contrast with the goodness of God. And if you're new to the faith or just new to paying attention, you may wonder, so what is Proverbs and what does it have to do with me? So let me fill you in a bit before we look at the piece we've heard from Proverbs today. If you're a biblical scholar or not at all interested in Proverbs, this might be a good time to check out your Facebook messages on your smartphone. First and foremost, it's good to remember when reading Proverbs or any other piece of our holy text that these writings were not written in the 21st century or even the 20th. They were written many, many centuries ago in a faraway place with a very different culture from ours. The authorship of Proverbs has often been attributed to King Solomon, and later scholarship, though, has shown that this is probably not accurate. Although Solomon, known for his wisdom, is not an unlikely candidate. More likely is that Proverbs is the work of an intellectually elite group known as sages, who wanted to pass on their great knowledge and intellect to others. Not surprisingly, the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, comprise a collection of sayings on a number of topics. Frequently, the woman, wisdom, is the concern of the sayings in Proverbs. Also popular is differentiating between the actions of the wise or righteous, shown in stark contrast to the foolish or wicked. An example of this is found in chapter 15, verse 2. "The tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouths of the fools pour out folly." If you decide to sit down and read the book of Proverbs in one sitting, you'll probably find that some of the sayings are familiar because they have been often used in cultural settings. Ever heard, "Gracious words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body"? Or, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he was old, he will not depart for it"? Or, "To everything there is a season"? Sayings from Proverbs were the source of many an embroidered sampler. Maybe you're a fan of internet quizzes and have taken a quiz to test your knowledge of biblical sayings. One of the phrases most frequently attributed to the Bible in error is, "The Lord helps those who help themselves." That phrase, also often wrongly attributed to Benjamin Franklin, originated in ancient Greece. And it is not only not in the Bible, but it is also quite contrary to the Christian understanding of grace. Our brother Paul, whose letter to the Ephesians, from which we have heard today, relies heavily on the scripture he was raised with and studied his whole life, not the least of which is Proverbs. The piece we have today sounds like it could have come straight out of Proverbs. Paul is trying to bring the Gentiles into the fold to teach them what the Jewish converts to Christianity have been taught all their lives. So he says, to the people of Ephesus, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord." Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 20 reads, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head." Proverbs 25:21 reads, "If your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on their heads." Paul was not imparting an original thought to the good people of Ephesus. He was teaching them as he had been taught. He was bringing them into the knowledge and learning he had been brought up with, which is still passed down from generation to generation, growing and expanding as our experience of God and the Holy Spirit grows and expands. Today we have a small excerpt from Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6, which read, "Wisdom has built her a house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight.'" The persona of this she wisdom has been widely debated. Many believe the term wisdom to be the feminine Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And if this is so, this one little snippet from Proverbs, even taken apart from the whole of this collection, packs a mighty punch. A house has been built. All the work has been done. A sacrifice has been made. Food prepared, wine mixed. All has been ready. And not for the rich and famous. Not for those at the top of the ladder. But for the simple and those without sense. Wow. This wisdom is not seeking out those who were self-reliant and self-assured, not those who were highly educated and successful. Nope. This wisdom calls from the highest places to those who are easily overlooked, those who are not sure and certain, those who are open to hear that call. And what does she say to those who come? Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the ways of insight. What does it take to get that kind of invitation? Would we dare step into that house? If the only thing that was required for entry was an acknowledgement that we are simple, that we don't have all the answers, that we ourselves are not the keepers of the truth, could we make ourselves step over that threshold? It is difficult to realize that in the big scheme of the story of God and God's people from the beginning of time and beyond, we are not all important. It's painstaking for us to come to terms with the idea that God's dream of unity and love is for the whole world. The whole world. We friends, despite our prosperity and despite our education and our arrogance, are simple. And the good news is that we too have had a banquet made ready for us. And we have been invited to move around the barriers that keep us from entering that gate, going through that threshold, to lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Proverbs still has a lot to say to us.